So tonight we're going to talk about how we are set free to worship and set free through worship. And it's just going to be a quick little devotional so we can get back into singing worship. But I'm excited to dive into this and just kind of focus in on this specific thing together, because worship is what we do here at the gathering. And if it's your first time here tonight, we are so glad that you're here. As I was driving tonight, I was just thinking about how God is so sovereign and how it was canceled last week with no storm, but there was a reason it was canceled. And if you didn't come and weren't going to come last week but did come tonight, then maybe it was for you. I feel like God is that detailed and cares that much about his sons and his daughters. So I just trust his faithfulness and sovereignty tonight. So let's dive in. My first point tonight is that we are set free to worship. And we see this from the very beginning, all the way back in Exodus. We see God's heart for his people. He says to Pharaoh, "Let my people go so they can worship me," in Exodus 8. God didn't just rescue his people from slavery, he rescued them for worship, because living a life of worship was always the plan. It's what we were created for, to live life with God, surrendered to him, in communion with him, and growing in our relationship with him. Colossians 1:16 says, "Everything was created through him and for him." And in Revelation 4:11, talking about Jesus, it says, "You are worthy because you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." So that means we were created by God and we were created for God. So that means worship isn't just something that we do. It's who we are. It's our identity. And it's not limited to singing, but it is so powerful. Don't you agree to be in, especially a group setting like this where we're all lifting up our voices? Even if you can't carry a tune, it's a joyful noise. And we hear in Psalm, we read in the Psalms, all of these scriptures about how it's actually a command to make a joyful noise to the Lord. And so it doesn't matter if you're like screaming off tune or if you're singing and you've got perfect pitch, we are all in this. We are all commanded because he's worthy. On Sundays and on Tuesdays and beyond, there's something special about singing true things about God and ourselves that are backed by scripture. There is also power in the mysterious idea that we're joining in with the song of heaven that's happening right now. Revelation 5:11-14, John has a vision and he talks about it. So starting in verse 11, he says, "Then I looked again and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea. They sang, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" You can probably think of a song right now that says "worthy" or "blessed is the name of the Lord" or "glory to the Lamb." It's because he's worthy of the praise, and we want to sing the song of scripture, the song of heaven. But if worship is more than singing, then what does that actually look like? I'm thankful for Paul. He kind of gives us an idea of this. In Romans 12:1-2, he says to the church in Rome, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Worship is how we live. It's a way of living. So a couple of years ago, I guess it was longer than a couple. This was right when Cole, my husband, and I got married. We didn't have kids yet, and we had taken a trip to Colorado. And I think it was winter because we were inside watching a show. So it must have been, because otherwise, go outside. But do you, raise your hand if you like thrillers or like scary movies. Anybody in here a thriller person? Okay. So I am not, and I feel like this was kind of the pivotal moment of my life where I realized, not for you. We were watching the show Black Mirror, and do not recommend, but maybe you like it. So we were just like binging the show, and we were on the second or third episode, and I started to notice my chest, like I couldn't really breathe. I couldn't get the oxygen I needed. I thought, oh, it's the altitude, like, no big deal. But it didn't go away. I was drinking a bunch of water. My heart started racing. And I was like, Cole, I think we need to turn this off. I know we want to keep going, but I can't do this. And so it was to the point where I was like, I need to lay down. Like, I don't know. I just feel really anxious. And so he grabbed my phone and he turned on some worship music. And what I was like playing a lot in this season was a Bethel album. And the specific song that came on was a song, Starlight. And so I'm going to read some of the lyrics of the chorus. It says, you're not far away, you come in close. Even as I wait, you're coming close. There's no heart unseen. There's no space between you and I. You are closer than the very oxygen I'm breathing in. I breathe you in. You are God with us. You are here with us. Emmanuel, you are infinite. Your glory has no end. Jesus. And as I was listening, I can remember the feeling so well. Like, it was truly like the Philippian scripture of the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding. It was just like totally taking out all of these anxious thoughts, all of this stuff I was internalizing that wasn't going to happen to me and wasn't true, and replacing it with the truth of God. Truth of God with me, Emmanuel, Jesus, breathing in. And that is my most concrete example of being renewed in my mind, where God truly did rewire my brain in that moment. And all because I turned something off and then turned something else on. So worship is choosing God, not just in a moment, like that was a moment, but it's also in your everyday life, in the mundane things, and living this way is living in freedom. My second point is that worship sets us free. Worship doesn't just come after freedom, it's actually the pathway to freedom. In Jeremy Riddle's book, The Reset, he says, pure praise has always been a weapon of mass destruction to the kingdom of darkness. Ooh, I love it. I'm going to read it again. It's so good. Pure praise has always been a weapon of mass destruction to the kingdom of darkness. And we see this play out in scripture. We're going to read from Acts 16. This is the story of Paul and Silas. They are suffering real pain, real injustice. And what do? They start to sing worship to God. So starting in verse 22, it'll be on the screens if you don't have your Bible. It says, a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Now, if you've been in church, you've maybe heard this story before, but as I was revisiting it and just preparing for tonight, it just kind of fell on fresh ears. Like, what in the world? There's no way, if I was in jail for doing something, I would want to be like the perfect prisoner. Like, I'm just going to sit there until you release me. I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to draw attention to myself. But they did. They worshiped God because they knew that God had them. Worshiping God was not going to get them into worse trouble. If anything, it was going to deliver them. They had so much faith. So they're proof, Paul and Silas, that there's something that happens when you choose to worship God, even when you don't feel like it, especially when you're afraid and you don't know what's going to happen to you. It's the best time to worship. And in this specific example, things shift in the physical. Verse 26, it says that there was an earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations and all the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Why? Because God hears and responds to our worship. And we don't always see it in physical like Paul and Silas did. Sometimes it's in the spiritual and we just trust in faith that God is alive and active and able and moving. That's kind of a lot of what we do right now. But when we worship God, we need to know that our focus shifts. Our hearts are realigned and our souls are reminded of what's true, and it puts God in his rightful place. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? That is a freeing place to live from. So we're going to keep going because the story doesn't stop there. Verse 29, the jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. I want to point something out, that all the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. So that means that two people deciding to worship the Lord in the middle of suffering and injustice set multiple people free. So our obedience to fix our eyes on Jesus and call out to him loudly and boldly could bring freedom not only to ourselves and others, but also impact their souls. It says that they all came to know and believe in the Lord. How amazing is that? My last point tonight is we overcome through worship and testimony. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Our freedom is rooted in what Jesus has already done, the blood of the Lamb. But part of how that victory shows up in our lives is through our testimony. And testimony is an act of worship. The worship becomes a weapon of victory. It's choosing to say, this is who God is. This is what he's done in my life. And this is how he brought me through, even when it's messy and still in progress, because let's be honest, we're all still in progress. Until we see Jesus face to face, we're in progress. Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. This is Jesus quoting the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed. That has been and always will be the mission of Jesus, this Jesus that we're worshiping tonight. That's what he wants for every single person in this room and beyond. So we're going to go into a time of testimony. Some of the Tuesday team has boldly decided they wanted to share their testimony with the rest of us. It's going to be awesome. And they're going to have some words written on the front and some words written on the back of this cardboard, and just going to share what God has done in their lives. And so as they share, I just want to remind us all that Jesus still brings freedom to the captive. Jesus still opens blind eyes. And Jesus still lifts the burden off of the oppressed. My prayer is that every testimony would be proof that he's still doing exactly that. These aren't just words, they're evidence. So as we move into this next moment, I invite you to celebrate what God has done in the lives of our gathering community, and let this time strengthen your faith and remind you that God has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten you. And as we do this, this is an act of worship. So can we pray before we go into this time? Jesus, thank you for being the God that you are, that you care for the souls of your sons and daughters in a deep, deep way that is beyond understanding. We will never grasp your love for us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would rest on this place, that you would bring freedom as our eyes are reading the words of these friends that are sharing their testimony, that as we just read them even, just reading these words would just break chains tonight, set people free, set captives free. Let us remember that you love us. Let us remember that we are to live lives of worship to you. We love you, Jesus. In your powerful name we pray. Amen.